I'm going to start something new in 2021. 1 John. 1 John is a letter or a treatise or a sermon. It's written by the Apostle John, one of Jesus' original disciples, to an unknown group or church. And it's filled with encouragement and it's filled with challenges. Several times throughout the book, John writes, I'm writing this because, I'm writing this because, I'm writing this because. And in particular, when he's wrapping up in chapter 5, verse 13, he says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And what he's talking about there is not just up here. He's talking about a full-orbed, experiential, in and through and out of us, knowing of the life of God and of Jesus Christ in our hearts. So we're going to be focusing in on gaining spiritual confidence as we study 1 John together. Some of you met my granddaughter on Christmas Eve, Amelia. I spent a significant part of my Christmas holiday speaking with my five-month-old granddaughter. And as a result of that conversation, I received some smiles. I got a few laughs. I also managed to draw out some spit bubbles. Everything I put within range of her hands got grabbed and pulled towards the mouth. When she wanted attention, she would let out a few fake cries. Wanted to be picked up, she would let out a few real cries, and we sang some silly songs together. I made up some silly songs that will never be heard again, and I did some jiggling dancing thing that will never ever be seen in public. Speaking with a baby is pretty basic. If you've ever had the privilege and the pleasure of speaking with a baby, sometimes I think that is what it's like for God to speak to us. We adults think we're all grown up with our complex emotions, with our complex languages, with our complex thoughts and our complex judgments. We're so full of ourselves, our own insights, and our own opinions. But when we relate to God, He has to talk baby talk to us for us to be able to even understand, because He is so much more than we are. If He is life, then our lives are a derivation of His. God relating to us is somehow similar to how I relate to my five-month-old granddaughter. We're both alive, but my capabilities are so much higher than hers. And God is alive, but His capabilities are so much higher than ours. And as John begins his letter, he invites us to ponder how God is, what He is like when He says, that which was from the beginning. God. Life. We humans think of things in terms of the beginning and in terms of the end. But God, so much more than that. And what we're going to see, what I want to highlight for you as we study these first four verses together, is two simple things. Number one, the life of God reappeared into the world. And number two, we can share in Him. The life of God reappeared into the world, and we can share in Him. John begins by saying that which was from the beginning. And he's not just talking about the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He's talking about when God brought a beginning.
Now, God is eternal. He doesn't have a beginning. He doesn't have an end. He is by definition life, and he is by definition the source of life. He is also tri-personal, Trinity. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit from all time, but he is one God, which means that there is this unimaginably deep personal dimension to who God is. People sometimes ask, well, why did God make us? It's a good question. The ultimate motivation for why he did that isn't always completely clear, but the reality is that God is life. He is alive. And in his goodness and in his love, he created life as we know it. Human life, animal life, plant life, angel life, living things that are so small we can't see them with the naked eye, and living things that are so immense that we feel nothing, like we are nothing in their presence. God is the God of life. Life flows out from him. And that's how creation happened. He spoke it, and the life that he created was very good. And it brought him great pleasure. And all living things were delighted to be alive, and they found delight in their life giver. In his novel entitled Origin, which means where things come from, Dan Brown imagines an ultra supercomputer that is able to recreate the conditions that existed on Earth before life existed, and is capable also of conceiving of the idea of how life comes from non-life. It is a theoretical possibility, but extremely unlikely that the random collision and the melding of substances that existed on the planet before life existed came together and created life. That is a faith position, somewhat based upon science, that assumes that there is no other life in the universe and all there was just matter. The probability of life coming from non-life is almost infinitesimal, and the probability of complex life coming from simple life is equally infinitesimal, whatever that word is. That's why Dan Brown had to imagine an ultra supercomputer. The Bible suggests that life in this world, instead of winding up, is winding down. God created all kinds of life as a physical outflow of his own life, and he could create things that live on their own, and they're able to enjoy life, and they're able to reflect on life. And the Bible goes on to record that the very living things that God created then turned their backs on their creator. In particular, angels and men somehow found fault with the God who made them, rebelled against that God, and that death entered the creation as a result of their rebellion. Life was broken by the rebelliousness of the ones that God created. The consequences of that rebellion broke the beauty of life in every single dimension. The universe is broken. The world is broken. Wildlife is broken. Humanity is broken. It doesn't live up to its potential we have forsaken the design for which we were designed by our Creator. Life is not as it should be, and we all feel this, and we all experience it. Pride separated people from their Creator, and the Creator caused the perfect equilibrium that existed in the first creation to somehow spiral down into a damaged, flawed, and sinful and broken reality that we live in today. Death entered as a result of sin. Pain, illness, pride, hatred, jealousy, murder, rebellion, adultery, and thanklessness all entered as a result of sin. All these things originated from the first sin of pride, and rebellion spread throughout the entire creation like a pandemic worse than coronavirus. And God could have walked away from it all. He could have wrung his hands and said, I'm done with this. He could have hit the delete button. And it would have all evaporated back into nothingness. But instead, being alive, he has allowed life in this damaged creation to continue. In his mercy, he continued to enter into and bring glimpses of redeeming life into reality. And he promised to do more. If you've ever wondered if there is more to life, just the ability to contemplate that indicates that yes, yes indeed, there is. There is more to life. There is more to life than going to work. Sometimes going to work can be awesome. There's more to life than just going through your days, but there can be some days which are just amazing. There is more to life than living with your family, although sometimes living with your family can be pretty neat. There is more to life than just eating and drinking and breathing and moving, but sometimes being able to do those things is amazing. Other times, life as we know it beats us down. Work is a drag and we can't even get enough to live on. Family relationships are damaged and they become a hollowed out version of what they could be. Relationships can even become more harmful than they are helpful. Our bodies, which are a part of God's wondrous imagination, can become our enemies and work against us and turn cancerous or ill or diminish. We become sick and weak and life ebbs away. Society can degenerate into existence or subsistence where every man or woman is for himself or herself. The rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Our desires, the things that we want, can lead us astray and actually drag us towards things that will harm us more than help us. And God has allowed life in this broken world to exist so that we might look up to him as the one who can redeem, and we can want more, and we can want him. Satan wanted to destroy our lives and our humanity, and he did a pretty good job messing it all up. But God left the hope of glory within us so that we would turn back to him and want more and want better. And we were made for this amazing life, but amazing life so often seems to slip through our hands like sand through our fingers. In The Sound of Music, the nuns sang, "How do you solve a problem like Maria?" We sing, "How do you solve a problem like life? Why isn't it better than it is? And how come I want more? And how come sometimes it seems so hard to find?" Verses 1 and 2 say this: "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you. Enter Jesus, life manifested, the life of God. So God comes back into his broken creation and takes on the very life that he made. God the Son became a man and entered into the life that we broke. And John talks about how he saw him, how he heard him, how he touched him. Life, God, became a man, Jesus, to redeem life. He says that the life was manifested. That's an interesting but uncommon word. To be manifest is to be clear. It's to be apparent. It's to be easily visible. It's to be clearly understood. When something manifests itself, it becomes clear so that you can't miss it. And the life of God was manifested in the broken world, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God manifesting himself. Jesus is God's baby talk, communicating in a simple, easy-to-understand language God is and what he is like. God the Son became a man. The disciples lived with him for 3-4 years. They listened to him. They saw him. They touched him. They ate with him. He taught them. He laughed with them. He smiled at them. He got angry with them. He had pity on them. He corrected them. He embraced them. He loved them. If you want to know what God intended life to be like for us humans, look at Jesus. There is the life giver in human flesh, fully God, fully man, in a form that we can understand and respond to. The apostles learned from him, and he taught them what they needed to know, and they received from him and have given it back to us and written it down in the book with the help of the Holy Spirit. They themselves taught it, and it has been preserved for us in the book so that we can know what right life is really supposed to be like. God in human flesh, Jesus Christ. God did not abandon creation to its own demise. Jesus entered the world to show us what life is really to be like and what life is really all about. He was a man, the Son of God, who truly lived life, who truly loved people, who even his enemies, and he delighted in all of the good things of God. He was a man that did not turn against God. He never hated others, even when they hurt him. Here was a person who delighted in good always and shunned evil always. God's life was manifested in Jesus Christ, so that John saw him, and he's now telling us. There's more to life. Jesus came to show us that. He shows us the good. He shows us the beautiful. He shows us love. He shows us eternal life. Jesus lived to defeat death. Jesus lived to defeat sin. He lived to defeat illness. And he lived to defeat hatred. And he lived to defeat brokenness. And in him we see what life can be, even while the world continues to wind down, until he returns to bring the ultimate new creation. Jesus is God's life, reappearing in this damaged world, bringing new life and hope. Which brings us to the second thing that John says in his introduction. We can share in him. We can share in him. Have you ever had somebody share something with you that just took your breath away? One of the biggest shares that meant a tremendous amount to Donna and myself was the doctors that she worked for in New Jersey owned a home in Vermont, and they would allow their employees to go there and vacation free of charge. And so we went there to southern Vermont, and it was right next to the Appalachian Trail, and we swam in a marble quarry and several lakes and drove all around the countryside and hiked up the Appalachian Trail and just relaxed. All as a gift from them to us. They shared their home with us, and we needed that vacation so much. When somebody shares something with you, it is so, so meaningful. And John begins by saying that life has re-entered the world, and we can share in him. Look with me at verses 3 and 4. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Fellowship. Again, another rather uncommon word, especially out of Christian settings, which means to share in, to partake in, to be a part of. Sometimes it's translated generosity or giving or charity. The idea is that God's life re-entered the world so that we can share in God's life. John puts it this way. You, the recipients of this letter, have fellowship with us, the apostles. And we, the apostles, have fellowship with God the Father and God the Son, Jesus Christ. Therefore, you have fellowship with us, and you have fellowship with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ, through our ministry. Jesus entered life in this broken world to bring God's new life back into the world. And his disciples shared in that life while he lived among them. And then his disciples went on and made more disciples so that they might share in the fellowship of Jesus' life. And that sharing has extended through us, to us, through the generations to this place. We can share the life of God in this world. Jesus died so that all that separates us from the Father might be forgiven. And he rose so that the life of God through the Spirit might come to us in this broken world. And when we can become partakers, fellowshippers, sharers in the life of Christ. The relationship with God was severed because of human disobedience. That can be restored by Jesus' obedience to his Father. And God made a way for his life to come back into us the way he originally intended. Christianity is not simply a club of people who believe certain things about Jesus. It is a community of people who participate in the life of Jesus. we are in good relationship with God, and we can live out of that relationship. Let me share some other verses with you. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19, Paul gives a prayer. He says, "I pray that you would know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, and that you would be filled to all of the fullness of God." Does that sound like God really wants to give you something huge to be filled with the fullness of God? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, Peter says, "By which God has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature." Does that mean that God wants his very life to dwell within us in a large way? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23 through 33, it's those verses about husbands and wives. And the nutshell of it, he says, "Husbands, you should love your wife like Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And wives, you should yield to your husband like the church yields to Jesus Christ." If you can imagine all of the best parts of a relationship that it can exist between a man and wife, the love, the passion, the tenderness, the understanding, the happiness, the intimacy, the trust, the surrender, the delight, the pleasure. All of the best things that can be between a husband and wife, God imagined and God created. We can share in all of those best things with him. God imagined marriage. And if he can imagine a relationship that good, is a relationship with him going to be something less? We have fellowship with God. We have fellowship with one another. One thing mirrors the other thing. The likeness is less than the reality. Our relationship with God has the greatest potential for satisfaction of than all of our relationships, because all of our relationships are a likeness of his. I've shared with you before, I'm not one for appreciating art very well. My favorite kind of art is art that looks like the real thing. In the Wyeth Museum in Brandywine, Pennsylvania, there is a huge, huge painting of a pig. And the painting is so amazing, you just want to reach out and touch it because it feels and looks so real. How can someone make a painting look so real that you want to touch it? Fellowship with God is like love in a marriage, is like a painting. But God is the real thing. Fellowship, Jesus Christ entered the world to restore our relationship to God, to bring life between us and God when it was damaged beyond repair. The real thing is God himself. And the blessed relationships that we enjoy are a likeness of the reality of the one who created them. That's how John starts his letter. Life re-entered the world. We can share in him. I remind you that there are Let's Connect cards on the seat in front of you. There's also a Let's Connect card on our website in the upper right-hand corner. This is a way for us to get connected. And if you are here for the first time or you're watching for the first time, welcome. Please return. Please come back. If you're here for the second time, so grateful that you've returned. Please keep coming. And you can put responses to the message on that card. You can put prayer requests if there's something you'd like us to pray for you. We have a group of folks who are willing to pray for you. And you just either click on it on our website or you drop it on the offering plate just inside the door as you're leaving. John ends his introduction by saying, verse 4, "And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete." The thrust of John's message is to bring a shared joy with everyone who participates. God has manifested himself in the world in Jesus so that we can have fellowship with him. And one of the results is a joy that is shared by all who fellowship with him. Do you have a relationship with God like this? Do you have his joy? That's where this relationship with God thing is heading. It's heading towards joy. A relationship with God brings us joy. Knowing Jesus brings us joy. Being forgiven and loved by him brings joy. Joy is even more than spiritual confidence or resoluteness. Joy is a happy confidence. It's a satisfied confidence. It's a fulfilling confidence because we have fellowship with God and Jesus Christ that floats us to the surface even when the darkness of the world seems to swirl around and try to drag us down. If you're here this morning and you realize that you don't have a relationship with God like this, I encourage you to move towards him rather than away. Read what he has spoken. Draw near to the body of Christ and get to know somebody. Talk to somebody. If you want me or Pastor Rick or any of our leaders to talk with you or pray with you, somebody who's up here on the platform, ask them for that, and they will do that with you. If you are confident that you have a relationship with God today, but it lacks joy, ask him to show you why. But be prepared to change when he shows you. In 1 John, God loving us leads up to spiritual intimacy and spiritual maturity. Just like my relationship with my granddaughter will mature beyond baby talk in the years to come. As 2021 begins, I don't know about you, I really do find myself more thirsty for God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And I want more of God's life in my life, and more love, and more joy. And I want that for you as well. Will you pray for me as I pray for you? And will you seek that together with me in 2021? Let's pray. God of all creation, God of wonders beyond all galaxies. Come and be among us. Fill us with your life. Fill us with yourself. Help us to live in joy. Help us to live as Jesus lived in the world. And help us to manifest his life and his love to those around us. Help us to experience fellowship, sharing, togetherness with you. Thank you for this beautiful letter from John to us. Help us to learn more as the year unfolds. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.